And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
Yeah, get those boogers out of there. Sound like a good one.
I need someone to play off of, and
yeah, exactly.
When you're not here, it's just like, tell me about the game.
Yeah, once we get big enough and Joe can actually hire someone with talent, he's going to drop me like a fucking hot potato.
Oh, God, I can't wait to get rid of you. Yeah. So I'll give you a quick rundown. We do a quick introduction, and then we announce that we have a guest, and then we let you introduce yourself, and then we talk.
Cool.
And I'm not sure what all we could talk about. I wasn't sure if it would just be you or if you would have others joining you. Figure we'd spend some time just talking about the whole PR industry and what the hell you guys do.
Yeah, sure.
Hell yeah, I'm curious as shit about PR for.
How can we get all the free games?
Shit, dude. I might be looking for a job in 2 months. What are you talking about, games?
Why are you going to be looking for a job?
We've covered this, Joe.
Are you getting fired again?
Possibly.
I'm the only one who's allowed to fire you, Pappy.
Yeah, well, it's a shame because I might be let go from my job that pays me money.
Oh, ouch. Damn.
Ugh.
Then I'll almost feel bad firing you from the show.
Yeah. But at least
almost. But not really.
Not really.
No. What's up, everyone? This is Joe.
And I'm Pappy.
And this is the SML Podcast. And we are joined today by a PR representative from Evolve PR, Jesse Radonsky.
Yeah, man. You got that right?
Yes.
Radonculus?
Totally.
Just high-fiving myself over here.
Yeah.
So Jesse Radonculus is here. How you doing?
Doing well. It's been a busy week so far. There have been game launches and just all kinds of news going out. So it's been a busy week so far. I mean, yesterday should have been MLK day, like day off, but it was kind of more like, no, we still have clients who need work done. And so that kind of comes with the territory sometimes.
Yeah, I got two emails from Evolve today. One about the Bug Butcher launch trailer, which that looks pretty neat. Cool. And then the other about Dying Light, the following going gold, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, man, that game looks like it's going to be quite the expansion, that's for sure. Dang.
Pappy over here was like, I'm going to wait for Dead Island 2. And I'm like, dude, it's never coming at this point.
Well, yeah, I said that, 6 months ago? And then now you're right.
Yeah, I think you're better off waiting for a Dying Light 2 than a Dead Island 2.
Probably.
I picked up Dying Light, haven't made time to play it yet because I apparently Punch Club is like crack.
Nice. I picked up South Park, The Stick of Truth over the holidays. I never got to play that before upgrading to Xbox One. And so when I saw that it was backwards compatible and it was only $5 during the holiday sale, I had to pick that up. I've been cracking up laughing.
Yeah, that game is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Just any game where you have to dodge your own father's testicles.
I know, right?
How about the fact that you get an achievement for watching them fuck for what? What is it, a minute? You got to sit there and watch it?
Yeah, one full minute.
Oh, I didn't get that achievement.
I got it accidentally. I was like, all right, this is a point where nothing happens. Let me go to the can. And I come back and, boom, achievement unlocked. It's like, huh.
It's a good cover. That's a good story you made up to cover for the fact that you watched South Park sex for a minute.
Yeah, yeah, that, or you can say you got an achievement for going to the bathroom.
Yeah, I need more of those. Might have a higher gamer score.
It's the other one. Farting on a dead Nazi baby fetus.
Oh, I just passed that part, too.
Oh, and you didn't fart on one?
No. That was like one of those, it's also kind of weird because it's not like, I mean, it was such an easy thing when the 360 was out to just hit the home button and look at the achievements on a whim. And now, like, it's, I guess it's just as easy, but I just don't think about it as much. I guess I don't really care for, like, actually researching achievements as much as I used to.
I feel, yeah, I feel. We've had some streamers on the show who are, like, hardcore achievement whores. And I'll admit, I had my time in the past where I was, like, I needed to get every achievement I could in a game. I was in an achievement contest where it was, like, the highest amount you could get in a month. And then it just kind of like
Ratatouille.
I don't know if I played Ratatouille. I know
I'd say it's the last 12 months you've kind of cooled down from the achievements.
Oh, much longer than 12 months. It's been a while that I'm just like, hey, if I get them, cool. If not, eh. If it's if I'll look at them and be like, hey, I could get that one, I'll do it. But like, I have a friend who just spent 40 some hours playing Chivalry online, using weapons that he hated to use just so he could get kills with them and get 1,000 out of 1,000 on the game.
That's what I don't understand is once you're angry at what you're doing, maybe you should just do something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have too many games to play to bother with that.
Yeah.
I have a backlog that I'm still working through.
I had a massive backlog, and then we started getting more involved with doing interviews and reviews on our show. And now that backlog is just laughing at the new backlog, and it's the hope that the new backlog has of being played. The old backlog's just like, nah, son, that's never happening. you will never get touched again.
I don't understand this whole backlog thing.
It happens quite easily, especially with with PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Games with Gold. Like, those can easily create a backlog.
Yeah.
I try to keep stuff on a Steam wish list, but, you know, I try not to put too many things on there so that I'm not tempted by it. And I try to finish stuff in the backlog before buying stuff because I just know it's going to be cheaper by the time I buy it.
I guess that's one good thing about me not being much of a PC gamer is I don't have that gigantic Steam wish list.
Yeah.
And then I don't have 4,000 games that I need to buy every Steam sale.
I spent $8 on the last Steam sale.
I think I spent around $20.
Yeah, it's
too bad.
I got a coworker who puts aside like $400 for the summer Steam sale.
Woo!
I spent $8 on the Steam sale, and I still ended up buying 47 games.
Dang. That's pretty awesome.
I think the majority of my Steam library right now is either stuff that they've given out for free or Humble Bundle stuff.
Or stuff that I've given you.
Yeah, true. Yeah, you gave me, what was it, Gary's Mod you gave me?
Yeah, it's like, I want to play some Gmod with people. I know that Joe will never actively seek this out. Here, it's $5. I'll just buy it for him.
Hey, one day you'll have to be like, let's play, and I'll be like, all right, you got it for me. I guess I'll
as soon as I get the fucking hosting a server thing down.
I was so sad when I saw that somebody sent you a game and it wasn't Shower with Your Dad Simulator. Because we just talked about that on the show that night. And I was like, oh my God, did someone just get me Shower with Your Dad Simulator? Nope, Gary's Mod.
See that trailer for Shower with Your Dad Simulator? We were just watching that recently, and it was just such a good trailer.
It is amazing.
Part of our job is trying to feed. Like, sometimes we'll have developers come to us and ask, like, hey, do you do any sort of trailer production? And we're always looking for, like, different takes on a game trailer than the typical trailer. And that one's just amazing. So good.
And isn't there, like, a notice in it, like, pixelation for promotional purposes only, full game features, fully uncensored Pixel Dong or something?
Pixel Dong.
Just something like that.
We pixelated the Pixel Dong.
Love those little Steam chat windows that would pop up in the bottom right corner. What am I watching right now?
Why do I want to play this game?
Yeah.
Why? But I do want to play this game. Somebody help.
I know, but I don't want to like get a Steam card and buy it myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a good little seg into what you do. You work for Evolve, right?
Yep.
Which is something Joe clued me in on because I'm very dense. And you are an actual PR firm specializing in video games.
Yep.
So what does that involve on the day?
Tell us about your job and what you do for people like Pappy who are dense and don't know what the words PR mean.
Yeah, totally. So I've been working with Evolve for about a year now. And before I was with Evolve, I did food and beverage PR. And before that, I did social media for video games and music and stuff like that. So I've been in the communications industry for a bit. Went to college for it. So graduated with a degree in public relations. Public relations can be many things, but mostly it's kind of like just media relations. If you work with a client who, say, I mean, we're at Evolve, it's basically I work with developers or I work with publishers. Sometimes it's both at the same time. And it's just about finding out what's new with the game, and then telling people who write news. But nowadays it's just so different because, you know, I mean, obviously there are places, the big places like IGN and GameSpot, Kotaku, but then there are also like, you know, YouTubers and Twitch streamers out there.
And idiots like us.
Yeah. And so it's all about like just making sure people know about the games. Not every game is the same. So, you know, sometimes, you know, we might give news to traditional games enthusiast media, but we're really taking more of a focus on trying to, you know, make the public aware it through other means. I don't know if, did you ever hear of that game that came out in early access this last year called Polybridge?
Yes.
So we were working with the developer, and it's just one guy at that time. I think he's hired on another person or two since then. But we were just working with him and kind of trying to figure out a good way that he could go into early access. And he had to split his time and either make more story or make more of a sandbox mode for people to create their own. And since it had such an awesome gift sharing feature, we recommended that he go with the sandbox mode because we thought about that a lot more people would have fun with the sandbox mode than running through more story.
Yeah, I was going to say, for the people who,
their creations.
For anyone who doesn't know what Polybridge is, if you've been on Reddit or Imgur over the past year and you've seen some kind of GIF of a vehicle crossing a river on some kind of fucked up, like rejected looking bridge that somehow collapses in 9 different ways and the car still gets across, that's Polybridge.
Yep.
And that game blew the fuck up online.
Yeah, and it mostly blew up just through some YouTubers and Reddit. I mean, it like hit the front page of Reddit a bunch of times on gaming. So because, I mean, obviously because it had that awesome sharing feature.
Yeah.
Like turning your creation into a GIF, like as easy as, I mean, 1, 2, 3, basically. It's one of those where it's less about, like, it's trying to work with the developer and understand the best way to show off their game and kind of help keep the conversation about the game moving, like leading up to launch and through launch. So, yeah.
All right. So now here you can obviously, since you're a PR rep, share as much or as little detail as you want to. But I got a couple of questions that I'm really curious. The first one, you know, you're talking about working with directly with the developers to try and figure out the best way to get the game out there. Have you ever had an instance where you're working with a developer and you're almost like banging your head against a wall, like, oh man, this guy just does not want to take advice? Or have you been pretty lucky that you guys, you know, get with the right guys and kind of feel them out before you even take on the job?
Well, my boss, Tom Ola, I don't even, he goes back and forth how he accepts his last name being pronounced. He's pretty awesome about picking, you know, really good clients to work with. We haven't really run into any sort of problems with like hard to work with clients. I mean, a lot of our clients are based in other time zones completely. Like I mean, we work with like the big clients being like CD Projekt Red, and they're like located in Warsaw. And then we have, you know, smaller clients that are in France. There's some that are in Canada, which isn't too far away. And then, you know, like the guy from Polybridge, he's in New Zealand. So it's less about like whether or not they're going to take our advice, and more about that we have enough time to do everything.
Okay. Because so sometimes you definitely try not to short, even if you have a smaller client, you're not trying to short them on your help.
Oh, no way. Yeah, no. I mean, sometimes we only, I mean, it to them, like, they might have a budget for only like a month. So it's like, hey, what can we do in this month leading up to launch? And then other times we work with clients to have like 6 to 10 months. And then it's like, we can plan a full fledged campaign and really think of, okay, so you're obviously still in development and you're very early in development still leading up to your launch. But are there some ways that we can talk about your game leading up to launch? And then when can we start planning for things like conventions, like PAX and GDC, and, you know, scheduling interviews with media while they're at those events, things like that.
I guess the important thing is that all games have to be treated as equals for the most part.
Yeah, but I mean, it depends on the type of game too, right? Like, obviously, a AAA game is going to be easier to work with in some respects than an indie game. And
yeah, with a
AAA
game, you can just throw out the, look at how beautiful this game is, and that's going to get like half the eyes right there.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, it's all about showing the game's worth. And so sometimes, like, you do need some extra TLC on a certain game. And sometimes you just have to find that right audience for the game, because not every website is going to focus on every game the exact same.
I see one of your listed games is I Am Bread. So I'm pretty sure that's a very specific type of masochist right there that you're trying to advertise
right.
to.
And that one was actually better shown on, while it was in early access, on YouTube. I mean, for obvious reasons. I mean, it wasn't exactly a YouTube bait type game, but because it actually did have a story to it. But, you know, it's not the grass simulators of the world or whatever. But, but yeah, it's
what's wrong with Grass Simulator?
Like,
2017 was really good, man.
Jeez.
Grass Simulator 2017 is revolutionizing the industry.
Yeah, I think they're jumping ahead, man. It's only 2016.
You always have to be a year ahead in sports games, and we all know Grass Simulator is a hardcore sports game.
Totally. I mean, Farming Simulator does that, but Farming Simulator is probably one of the better simulators out there. So
I'm waiting for Turf Management Simulator.
Right.
the hardest mode will be the guy in charge of the former St. Louis Stadium.
I live right next door to where the Portland Timbers play, and they're actually like redoing the turf right now, so I've seen them putting in the turf. So that hits home.
We need an interview with the guy who resods.
I know,
the,
right?
The grass. Oh, man.
So that's because we actually hit on this on our last episode because we had some actual Twitch gamers on our show. And one of the big things we were talking about was how a lot of games seem to be going to Twitchers and YouTubers now as more a more reliable market than, say, like Kotaku. Now, is this something that you guys actively seek out? Like when you get a game and you decide, hey, this would be great if we had some streamers playing this, you know, like at a beta or something. Do you just reach out to certain people, or do you have like a list to where you actually have tried to match up? Like this streamer tends to do a lot of FPS. Let's try and hit him up, or you know, like that. Like, I guess try and find the right streamer for the game.
Yeah. So there. So we have multiple angles that we could take at it. I mean, Tom is currently working on a big platform, an online platform right now that we call Evolve Terminal. And it's sort of like an easy way to that media and YouTubers, Twitch broadcasters, any of them can go into once they've signed up, and have been sort of verified through the system. We manually verify everyone. And it basically just lists out a bunch of the games that we're upping support right now. And it shows people like by keywords. It's in alpha still. It's not even in beta yet. So we're still working out a lot of things on it. But it's a pretty nice way to show people, here are a bunch of games we're working on. Does one of these look interesting to you? Just request a key. Some of them, like the keys aren't ready yet, and so you know you can add it to a watch list or whatever. But going back to your question, I would say, I mean, any of the games that we work on, we try to figure out like a way that we can get the game to YouTubers and Twitch broadcasters as early as possible, whenever possible. And usually, I mean, obviously, like, we don't want to send like a first-person shooter to somebody who only likes to play RPGs. I mean, they're only going to get annoyed with that. So,
yeah.
And so it's the same thing. Like, you know, if they only play on PC, then we're not going to send a game that's only on PS4 to them, because that's going to be worthless. So,
I think that's one of the good things with our show is that between all of us on the show, we basically have everything covered.
Yeah.
Pappy
yeah,
has.
Hell, and we've even got a couple of people willing to do games that, like, if Joe got a key for, like, a Steam MOBA, he doesn't Steam and I don't MOBA, but we actually have somebody who'd be more than happy to play it and give us, you know, an email so we can review the thing. So we can cover damn near every game out there.
Yeah, if only I Am Bread had codes, because it's great out there, no codes. I was ready.
Yeah.
I was ready to jump on that.
We haven't been working with Bossa for a little bit now. we helped them launch onto PS4, and then it was kind of like, well, I think that's about it for now. Like, they're working on another game right now, World's Adrift, but they due to their some other partners, they're working with a different company right now. So
yeah.
They're cool people, though. I actually went on my honeymoon with my wife back in October, and we went to London, and we stopped by Boss's office because they're still super cool people, and I wanted to see them in person, and got to try out the Vive while I was there, and played the Surgeon Simulator VR setup that they have there, which is pretty freaking cool.
Oh my lord!
So they pretty much focus on games with frustrating controls.
I think they like creativity and playing new things. Like, I think World's Adrift is pretty traditional controls, actually. But they like to, I mean, they do a ton of game jams all the time, and so they like to do like new things with controls that kind of, because they could have easily made Eat My Own Bread as a platformer, but they're like, why? I mean, what would be the fun in that?
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I like watching people play Surgeon Simulator because it feels like one of the biggest rage quit games I've ever seen. You know, oh yeah, it's just so easy. Cut this guy open, fix it, and then your controls, your arm just goes and slaps the whole tray over instead of, you know, doing the incision.
I'll never get tired of watching Surgeon Simulator. I'll just say that.
Especially those people who are really good at it.
I don't understand how they are good at it. How is that like physically possible to be good at that
game? Same thing that's like, instead of like playing with weapons that you hate for 40 hours, you play a game that's frustrating at first, but then you get really good at. So
there's just
probably
some
similar to
were,
Dark Souls or something like that.
Yeah, there's just
masochists.
Some people who are good at that stuff, and that's their niche.
Yeah, exactly. That savant 8-year-old that just uniquely understands the controls better than any adult would.
Yeah, and gets on Twitch. It's like, all right, motherfuckers, let's do this shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to speed run Octodad. 4 minutes later, credits roll. What the? What did you do? How did you do?
Next thing you know, they're on Games Done Quick.
Oh, God. I love watching that stuff.
Yeah. I have this thing for train wrecks. I wait for Joe to tell me the worst Games Done Quick ones, and I go and YouTube them.
Oh man, from what was it? Summer Games Done Quick, the Crash Bandicoot run.
Yeah, the guy who got escorted out of the building afterwards.
Yeah, that was an awkward one.
I don't remember hearing that about that.
Like he kind of had like a mental breakdown during the stream where he kept talking. It was a run where you had to die a lot to, you know, you just die to get out of the level to go back into a different level. Since you don't need to complete the level, you just need to collect all the things to consider 100%.
Oh, okay.
He would die to just exit to the main world select, and he would just constantly make like suicide jokes.
And, like, oh, wow.
The crowd is just groaning, and like it's just socially awkward. I don't know if he was escorted from the building, but I think he was asked to leave.
Yeah.
It was incredibly awkward to
watch. Which is weird, though, because if someone's cracking suicide jokes on a live stream, I wouldn't ask him to leave. I would ask him to come and talk to our freaking in-house, you know, social worker.
Yeah, right.
It was just a really uncomfortable run to watch.
Hmm.
Good time. Yeah.
Dang.
Bringing things down.
That's a subject that's hard to transition from.
Yeah, no shit. So, so I've noticed, looking through the list of games that you guys represent, we have had a surprising number of games featured on your PR firm on our show, including interviews, and somehow I've never crossed paths with anybody from Evolve. Like, we had an interview with the one guy from Layers of Fear. We did an interview with someone from Panarium. We've previously covered the Book of Unwritten Tales 2, Divinity, Original Sin. And I'm surprised that we just never got in touch with anyone from Evolve through the time that we've been talking with all these other people.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I mean, like, we've worked with Larian for a while. We worked with Focus Home Interactive, which is like a publisher in France. And they did like the console version of they published the console version of Divinity Original Sin Enhanced Edition. So I mean, we're quite busy. We've grown a lot too. When I first started, there was just a few of us, and then now there's like 8 or 9 of us.
Wow.
I mean, 10 if you count like our web developers who are doing Terminal right now. So it's growing. We're all based remotely, too.
I also like that means that while you guys were there to help them groom and get their games out there, you're not like, oh, you must sign an exclusivity for us to approve of everything. You know, that's kind of nice.
Yeah, no, we're pretty laid back as far as like, I mean, like if the developers want to do something, that's awesome, especially if they want to do something on the media relations side as well. But they just need to let us know so that we don't double up and, you know,
yeah,
hit people up twice, because that's only more annoying.
I think a lot of that comes to the fact that I don't really have any PR contacts myself, since our show is nearing 3 years old, but our heavy emphasis on doing developer interviews and game reviews and previews and stuff like that is still under a year old, really.
Like, yeah.
This is a fairly new turn that we've done recently, and I've pretty much done all of it myself, of just going to developer websites, contacting developers directly, and usually that's how I get something set up, with somebody coming on the show or talking to us or sending us review codes that either we could play or we could even give out to our listeners. It seems like any time I get a reply, it's like, yeah, let me CC our PR manager here and he'll take care of you. 90% of the times, I never hear back from that PR manager.
We do as best as we can. Like, everybody on our team does as best as we can to reply to people. You know, if they send us a link to some coverage or something, to at least say thank you. Sometimes it's not always possible, especially during like crazy convention season.
Yeah,
because it's literally like just email after email after email all day long.
And I understand you kind of have to rank.
Yeah,
you're gonna talk back to.
Yeah, like
sometimes it's just the thank yous are hard to do at that point.
I fully understand how low on the totem pole we are, because we're still a 3-year-old podcast, but we still have under 100 YouTube subscribers. We're probably
But everybody starts somewhere, you know.
And I'll be honest, we are definitely hitting that stride. We're getting a lot of.
Yeah, we're I'll every day I will joke and shit on my own show saying that we're a terrible show. Nobody listens to us. I hate the show because the hosts are terrible. But I honestly believe that I've been busting my ass to make this show a lot of fun to listen to.
I just realized that you've been so busy you haven't updated the iTunes page.
No, that's laziness.
Okay. That's pure
laziness on that front.
No. Well, on the plus side, that means I can't be accused of sucking up the show because my name's nowhere to be seen on it.
Exactly. I always said this is my show, and then whoever shows up is just putting up with me.
Thanks.
And your cat, judging by the Skype photo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we are the number one hit on Google.
For what?
I just Googled SML podcast.
Oh, if you just Google SML, we are not the first.
Oh, well, SML podcast, we're all page one. Page two is some guy from the Podomatic, a Saturday morning live show.
Those sons of bitches, they're trying to horn in on us.
Seriously.
But
St. Mark's Lutheran Church is also an
St. Mark Lutheran. Oh, those poor people. We're sorry.
Someone's going to be very upset.
If you're looking for St. Mark's Lutheran Church podcast, we apologize dearly.
Yeah, well,
God bless you.
I got an exorcism once, so, you know, we're kind of religious.
Dang.
I had to get the demons out.
I've seen The Exorcist.
Yeah, the head spinning thing, he just does that out of boredom. That's not devil related.
Yeah, I like to randomly vomit pea soup on coworkers.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, honestly, I feel very proud of where we've brought this show for basically doing it all ourselves and just emailing developers themselves. I feel happy that I could say Mike Micah, the guy behind iDarb, we consider him a friend of the show, like a legitimate friend of our show, for the number of times he's been back on our show and chats with us. We've had 9 different members of Harmonix come on the show over the years.
Well, yeah, because every time they come on the show, they get a job somewhere else. Yeah.
I'm excited with how big our show is getting. We don't have the numbers to back it up, but we have the quality. And
it makes it that much easier when you go to, like, you know, like a convention like PAX or something like that, and you have a chance to connect with those people in person. It's like, at least you've already had the opportunity to speak with those people. Yeah. So there are some people who have only chatted with people over email, and the closest that they've have to any sort of visual representation of them might be a Twitter photo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
we're going to be at MAGFest next month, and we're going to be, strolling up and down the indie area pretty hard, you know, trying to, you know, meet the people we've interviewed in person. Like, that's my number one goal. Hopefully the Philly guys will be there, because
yeah, PHL Collective, they were awesome.
But yeah, and that's, you're right, you know, it's like, hey, we can put names to faces rather than just whatever your freaking Skype icons.
I need to find a way to actually get to more things. It's just finances fucking suck.
It's not easy. Not easy.
Yeah, like you say, PAX and all of that stuff, man. I'd love to, but I only get 30 days of vacation a year, and it's hard to eat that up going, oh, let me work on this side job of mine.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it's like, I mean, hey, PAX tickets are going on sale. Never mind.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. That's pretty much me. It's just like, if I didn't have a client getting me a ticket through other means, like, I wouldn't be going either.
Yeah, we're lucky that we've been at MAGFest so many times that we're almost family to MAGFest.
Technically, I'm ex-family.
Yeah,
MAGFest.
You're ex-family. I just never leave.
You've never missed one. So we'll walk down this damn thing, and there will be people that neither of us know. We'll be like, Joe Cam, what's up? And high five this guy. And I'm like, hey, Joe, who is that? I have no idea.
And that's not a lie. I legitimately feel bad when I don't know who someone is. But
that's another hard thing about conventions. Sometimes it's hard to put faces to names.
Especially when you're the one going out and doing all the meet and greets. So, you know, you meet 100 people, but those 100 people only meet you. So it's a lot easier for them to remember who the hell you were.
Yeah. And I'm a very distinct looking person.
Yeah, I had to do that with Mr. Old Greg Miller over at Kind of Funny. I was like, "Hey, Greg, I'm running somewhere, but I just wanted to let you know that I was that guy who mailed bread to your house." And he was like, "Oh, bread, that was so good, thanks." Yeah.
Why did you mail bread?
I am bread.
Yeah. I got it.
Yeah. That's part of the job of doing PR sometimes. You have to send special packages to people.
Oh, man. I thought that it was like a maybe like, oh, well, we know someone and they wanted me to send this bread that I made for the holidays. But no, just PR bread.
Well, thank God that you didn't do like Seven the video game and mail shit out.
What's in the box? You don't want to know what's in the box. Is the game that bad? No, it's... Yeah, it's
just
a review copy here.
It's just a big bowl of spaghetti. No, we didn't bother on refrigerating it, so it might be a little moldy. But, you know.
Yeah, but
I like that you guys actually have like PR tips on your page. You're not hogging your experiences.
No, and there are some times where we are gladly to we're glad to tell people, hey, here are some other PR companies you can work with.
I feel like you're actively doing everything that the Hollywood PR industry doesn't.
Well, we try not to be those PR people, and that was like one of the big reasons why I wanted to work with Evolve so bad when I was trying to get the gig. So
that, and you guys are down to earth, like that's you. You come across like your people. Like when I got the approval email, the fact that it starts out with one of us, I tweeted out right then and there that I think this is going to be a good relationship with Evolve, that's how your email starts with becoming a member of your terminal is one of us. that just hits
good old
you right
throwback
in the heart.
To one of our favorite movies.
Oh, I own that movie.
It's good.
Yeah. What movies don't you own, Pappy? Would it be easier to...
Rom-coms?
I don't know if you guys like horror movies, but I was really disappointed recently when I heard that they came out with an American version of Martyrs.
Yeah, it's not out yet, but I'm just looking at it like, wow, let's take everything that made it really freaky and then water it down because American audiences can't handle it.
So bad.
America. Yeah.
We didn't ask for that.
I did
Nobody
the...
asked for it.
When I ran a blog years ago, I actually went out and kind of found the consensus 10 hardest to watch movies of all time. And I got 8 of them because the other two are so hard to find. Like, it's like, oh, you want the VHS? That'll be $150. Like that kind of hard to find. But yeah, I did Martyrs. I did Salo. I actually had to buy a Serbian film in order to watch it.
Yeah, that's the one I haven't seen yet just because I kind of like – I just heard it was kind of like all the bad without any of the good storytelling to go along with it.
I didn't have
to pause
Martyrs.
Mail him the movie with bread.
No, you can have it. I've been trying to get rid of this damn thing for 2 years. I didn't have to pause Martyrs once. Salo, I had to walk away one time. And a Serbian film, I paused that movie like 4 or 5 times. And just had to get up, go outside, take a deep breath. Because it was gore for gore's sake. And just, it was just.
What are the two you didn't see?
Necrophile or Necrophilia or something like that. And then there's a British movie that takes place like after an atomic bomb goes off that's supposedly really dark. I couldn't find that anywhere.
Hmm. Was Inside on there?
No. This was probably 3 years ago, too. No, shit. This was 5 years ago that I did this.
Oh, okay. It might have been like kind of like borderline. I think Inside came out 2009. Yeah. It's another French movie. It's like called La Interieur or whatever. I'm terrible with French, so pretty awesome. Anyways,
and then the Dana Carvey classic, Masters of Disguise.
No, that's what we do. This is how we do.
Like, yeah, if we stay on topic, there's a problem.
And I'm always willing to kind of go off a little bit. Yeah, like. And a lot of these movies you look at, like, oh, here's the hardest to watch movies of all time. Yeah, I own it.
Yeah.
Been there, done that.
I own 2 copies of Martyrs just to show one to people. And then keep one for myself.
So. And there was another French film that had a really, 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 it was like a backwards to forwards movie. Like, it showed the last 10 minutes. And then
Irreversible.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that one's pretty brutal.
Subway was pretty rough, but I managed to get...
Yeah. Especially since there's Monica Bellucci. Like, she's pretty well known.
Yeah. Yeah.
That scene is pretty brutal.
It's, yeah, that's just how I do, I guess.
All right.
Yeah,
so, again, we talked about speedrunning with suicide references, and now a graphic rape sequence in a Monica Bellucci movie.
Keeping it dark.
What else? What's next, Pappy?
Well, I'm actually trying to find the name of that British movie.
We're doing PR for these movies now.
Necromantic is the one that you can't find anywhere.
Yeah. I heard that movie wasn't that great anyway.
Most of these movies weren't good. Happiness was the most awkward movie, and that's not even a horror.
No.
And I haven't watched any of these.
Oh, God, no, Joe. You would just get up and leave. Threads, that's it. Threads is the documentary-style BBC film.
I don't know if I would get up and leave. I would just, like, be on Reddit on my phone the whole time.
Well, yeah. Well, if it were your house, you would probably just eject the disc and be like, fuck it, we're playing video games now.
Well, no, if someone else is watching it, like, I don't want to be a dick. I would just, like, come over to the computer and start...
If I were watching it at your house...
If you were watching it at my house, I would probably tell you to go fuck yourself and then pee in your mouth.
There we go. There we get that. We got to get that honesty for the podcast.
Yeah. But if it was like company and it was like a group thing, it's like, ooh, let's watch this disgustingly evil movie that no sane person would actually enjoy. And I don't want to be the odd man out. So I'd just be like sitting on my phone, be like,
that's what I really like about Martyrs is because Martyrs is like, it's beautiful and it's storytelling, but it's still pretty brutal.
Yeah, no.
But I've showed that to people who don't like horror movies, and they were still able to watch it just fine.
Yeah, that's up there with like The Thing or Audition. It's a gory, brutal movie, but it's a good movie.
Yeah.
So I think I can seg that into some games.
Layers of Fear was one we covered.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. But
I haven't played that game yet. But really? It looks awesome.
Did you know that it's available in game preview on the Xbox One?
I ate through that game on Steam. Like I did a let's play and just boom, game done. And I'm like, when's the next half? And I'm actually kind of a little bummed because they've been updating the 60% of the game that they finished. They've been adding more rooms and more stuff to it, but they have no release date for the finished product.
Hopefully I'm not working on that game, so I can't really tell you much on that.
So what games are you working on, or have you worked on?
Let's see.
Talk to us about some of the stuff
aside from the games that we've talked about already. There's a bunch of us who are all doing some work with The Witcher right now.
Team effort.
Yeah, it's because we kind of do a little bit of social media there too as well.
Yeah, it seems like the kind of game you want more than one person on.
Yeah, and I went to PAX Prime with them, and I did a media tour for Hearts of Stone, the expansion.
Damn.
And then you know, Blood and Wine, the expansion has still yet to come out. So we're still kind of working on that. But aside from that, work with Lacosa Entertainment on a game called Klaus that came out today.
Yeah,
should be getting some keys to some people pretty quick. Like, actually,
fingers crossed.
And
I'm one of those people.
And that game is like it's a pretty cool platformer. I went to the PlayStation Experience with them in December. And was showing it off there for a couple of days. It was in San Francisco at the Moscone Center. Another San Francisco show. Like, we really need one.
Yeah, I did the one in Vegas two summers ago.
That would have been really cool. Yeah, maybe.
I would have had a lot of recommendations outside of the PlayStation Experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Pappy wasn't a fan of that when he was
now,
there.
The whole, hey, we're going to do our, you know, because I got... I'm a military, so they gave us free tickets, like straight up, like, hey, you want to go? Sure. You know, and I get there and I stand in line for an hour to get my, you know, get my pass and everything. And then it's this giant concrete room with a big ass screen on the end and a stage. And they're like, okay, so in 20 minutes, we're going to have our opening ceremony kind of thing where we're going to announce all of our games and all of this stuff. You can't go to the floor until we're done. So I was like, this is kind of a bummer because I want to walk around. There's people I know here. I want to go find them. I want to go check out their games and talk to them. But I have to watch this hour-long presentation first. That kind of bummed me out a little.
I mean, it kind of comes with the territory if you get in. There's no such thing as something for free. There's always some sort of hidden detail behind it, right?
Yeah, I mean, on the plus side, everyone around me paid for their tickets, and they had to do the same thing. So,
yeah.
I had fun for what it was, but as someone who doesn't own a PlayStation, it was a little limited because I'd see a game like, that was really cool. Oh, it's an exclusive. Well then.
Yeah. Yeah. I went up to the Darkest Dungeon guys this year and was like, hey, I don't own a PlayStation, but I've played it on the early access for maybe 60 hours now. So thanks. Oh, geez. Thanks for your time. what else?
So you're working on Klaus.
I work on a lot of stuff for Focus Home Interactive, and they have, you know, like I've done mailings for Farming Simulator 2015. Or just Farming Simulator 15. I've done work for, like, I helped them a little bit at E3 in between their main booth and Larian's booth for Divinity Original Sin Enhanced Edition.
Fantastic.
What do you do at a convention? You're just like the go-to guy to talk to people, or do you specifically hook up media interviews and stuff?
Well, I try to do all that ahead of time. So, like, leading up to a convention, we've tried to find out who all is going to be there for work purposes, and then see if they're interested in scheduling time to chat with the developer about anything new that's going on with their games. Maybe that's, like, closed-door previews, or maybe it's, like, more of a hands-on preview with access to the developer. And then sometimes, like, it's, you know, maybe the developer, maybe like one of the guys from the team is just manning a booth, and like at the PlayStation Experience or at E3, PlayStation had their own area, and it's just basically like, here's a monitor and a controller, hang out here and talk to people as they come up to you. And so it was my job to make sure that media went up there and did that. So. It's usually when I'm there on the floor, it's more about like making sure that people who are scheduled for their times know when, like, know where they're supposed to go.
So you're almost like a herder.
I can be at a certain time. And sometimes there's absolutely no time for the person who is talking with everybody to go on lunch. And so I'm that person that like runs out and grabs a burrito for them so that they have food to eat. So,
are you familiar with UFC?
Mm-hmm.
Burt Watson, babysitter for the stars. Is that kind of what you do?
I hope not. I'm not really familiar with Burt Watson, but I don't want to be considered a babysitter.
He's the one who pretty much kept everyone where they needed to be when they needed to be there. He was just the one in charge of pretty much everything.
Lot of event management.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
So you got to have good time skills.
Yeah, I mean, and it depends on the event too, right? Like at PAX when I was there with CD Projekt Red, they didn't have a game to show because the game was already out, and the expansion wasn't ready yet. So it was more like just to be there, and there was a lot of fun stuff. We had this like really, I don't know if you saw. Saw it on like social media or anything like that, but there was this like big stuffed unicorn that you could actually like sit on.
Oh God!
And it was pretty cheesy looking, but like cheesy looking in a way that was like almost perfect for PAX.
Oh God!
And we had the stuffed unicorn. And
we had some
awesome cosplayers there, and then there was like a photo booth. There was a lot of like interactive things there. There were a couple of like the writers from the game who were there signing posters and things like that at certain times, and lots of giveaways going on. And so we tried to make the area as like interactive as possible and as fun as possible. And like, aside from that, it was trying to just make sure that, you know, people who were there to check out games could also come over to the booth and like take a fun picture on the unicorn and
the friggin' unicorn.
That's just awesome. Make things fun and kind of keep the game in the eyes.
Did you guys have Gwent tournaments going on or anything?
No Gwent tournaments. No.
That would have been fun.
That'd be cool. I think at that point there wasn't even the Gwent cards that came out with the collector's edition of Hearts of Stone yet, because that hadn't come out yet.
Do you know if the Gwent cards that came out with the Hearts of Stone, if they're the same ones that came in the Xbox One collector edition?
No, they're different cards.
Different cards. All right.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't sure, like, what... Because I have my big-ass Geralt battling a griffin statue edition hanging out in the house. And I knew it came with cards there. I didn't know if they were the same cards or... Okay, now I have to find them.
No.
You've given Joe something else to buy.
I'm pretty sure they're still available on GameStop, which I guess is probably the only plug that I've been plugging so far. Like, seriously, like a money plug. But, yeah.
Ching,
well,
ching.
I'm just... you guys also have a couple of the really big names like BioWare under your umbrella. So I'm just wondering, who do I need to seduce to get a Mass Effect Andromeda beta?
Well, I think like some of those names secret out of the bag. I think every PR company does this: is they put names under their like website that with companies that they have worked with but don't work with now. And so like, that's one where Tom worked with BioWare long before he even created his own company.
But that connection's
I'm sure at some point BioWare was there, but not since I've been working with Evolve.
Okay. So. Well, my question still stands. If you ever find out who I need to seduce, let me know.
I know, right?
Why do you say seduce? Just be forward. Like, who do I have to blow to get?
Yeah, exactly.
No, because we've taken this too far. Like, I'm already like the dumpster whore of Vegas, according to you.
But you are. You still need to hook up with that one dude so he could come on our show, too.
Just out there to the right of the Golden Nugget. Just lying out there. Puddle of your own vomit.
Golden Nugget. Yeah, that would be the right place to give blowjobs behind a dumpster.
So what games are coming out in the future that you're representing that we should be keeping an eye on?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I don't even, like, truthfully, like, half of the games that we cover, like, I don't even see until at a certain point. I'd say that...
I'm going to assume if on the details it has your name that you're the one covering that game.
Yeah, so
for me...
There are a lot of focus games that I'm actually really excited about. It's one of those games that it doesn't look like I should be that excited for, but Shinesse is a game that I'm actually really looking forward to. It just has that like PS2 Dark Cloud 2 vibe to it.
So it's pronounced Shinesse. I thought it was Shyness.
It's probably a Shyness. I don't really know. Tomato, tomato.
Chinese.
I go back. With it too.
Shiny happy people.
Shiny.
So the Lightning Kingdom.
Yeah. That one looks really cool. It's just my type of game right there. A little bit RPG, a little bit action, colorful world, and things that are...
The funny thing is I have two games open in my browser right now that have your name on them, and that's one of them.
Yeah.
That nice. I was going to ask about, because I think that one looks gorgeous and it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I would really want to see more of it. Obviously, there hasn't been, I haven't even seen that much, and I think they're getting ready to show more soon, but I'm not totally sure.
Well, I clicked the watch button, so
yeah,
I will be paying attention to that one as much as I can.
Yeah, Space Hulk, the new Space Hulk game looks pretty awesome. Obviously the Technomancer looks pretty cool.
And there's the other window I have open.
I'm hoping it's going to be like a sort of Mass Effect feel to it, but I'm not totally sure.
Yeah,
I'm a huge 40K guy, so.
Oh yeah.
Cautiously optimistic.
Well, if you're the 40K guy that you probably would like the Battlefleet Gothic Armada. I don't know. It's like epic ships, and just like it's like RTS in space, but with like huge ships. So
I don't know. Last time 40, I played,
depends on the 40k you like.
Yeah, last time I played a space-based game, I flew into asteroids for an hour. No, I'm all about the RTS, the strategy stuff. Like, I mean, I at one point owned almost every single 40k novel that Black Library had put out at one point.
Dang.
Yeah. Like, I'm a big fan of the fictional universe.
Yeah, my computer's not powerful enough to play through Mordheim, City of the Damned, but that one came out recently, and that actually has, like, one of the writers from that wrote for Black Library.
Shouldn't you be able to say that you need it as an expense to play the game so you can PR it better?
I know.
Yeah, you could write that shit off. Like, I would have a hard time if I'm like, honey, I need a new computer so I could play these games, so I could review them on my podcast. You'd be like, you don't get paid for your fucking shitty podcast that 8 people listen to. Go fuck yourself. We can't afford a new computer. So instead,
now I'm trying to imagine Ashley telling you to go fuck yourself, and it's the funniest thing ever.
So instead, I have, like, mine here that's powered by a gerbil inside, running on a wheel that, like, I downloaded that little that software checker for the VR for Oculus that's like, run this to see if your computer is able to handle.
Yeah, don't you need, like, a really powerful computer for that?
The only thing that my computer passed was that I have Windows 10. Everything else is like, no. No.
You need two Titans for that.
Like, I'm scared to try any games on my computer. One of the games on your site, Dino Side, I actually got a preview code for that, and that one just barely runs well enough because my computer is just it's horrible.
You need some more RAM, buddy.
Yeah.
I need to download more RAM.
His computer, I don't even think has slots for new RAM. Like.
I mean, I got a new laptop for, like, I shopped around a little bit. I got one for, like, $500, and it has 8 gigs of RAM, and it usually plays most of the games that, you know, don't require a ton of power.
I need more megabits of
Chrome. It's got an i5 in it. So.
But, yeah, but that's the other great thing about games nowadays is I feel like if a big AAA releases, I'm just going on the Xbox. You know, it's
yeah, exactly. I mean, I have an Xbox One and a PS4. And the laptop, and between that, like, I could play most of the indies on my laptop and play most of the AAAs on one of those. And yeah. So, like, I don't need to be picky with those.
Yeah, that's so. My Steam games are almost all, like, classic 8 and 16-bit style games. Like, I don't play anything that might hurt my hard drive.
Yeah.
Same. So should I read off my processor to see if it's really that bad or if I'm just exaggerating?
You know, I don't know if I'd have enough knowledge of extreme.
Me neither. That's why I'm legitimately wondering if I. I'm sure one of our listeners could tell me how bad it is. It's an AMD Athlon 2 X4 645, 3.1 gigahertz, and I have 6 gig of RAM.
6 gig of RAM.
Back in my day, I had 2 meg of RAM, and I could play Wolfenstein.
AMD Athlon what?
Yeah. Fuck, I just closed it. I think a 645 or something. I have to find the window again.
Right click.
Athlon 2 X4 645. Because those initials and numbers mean nothing to me.
Yeah.
I push buttons and it does things. That's how good
I am. Let's put it this way. It's out of stock on Newegg.
Nice.
We don't sell these anymore. Because, mm-hmm. Yeah, optimized for Windows 7.
Yeah.
Yep.
The newest thing in my computer is I got a new video card. When Diablo 3 came out, not Reaper of Souls, when Diablo 3 came out, mm-hmm. I had to get a new video card just to play it. So everything else is older than that.
Yeah, that's a pretty good hint.
Yep.
I need a new computer. If any listeners out there feel pity on me.
Yeah, that's
yeah, exactly. Can you get like one of those rich people who would usually go on somebody's Twitch stream and donate like $10,000? Can you just get them to just donate $500?
Seriously, if someone donated 10 grand to me, I'm good. Like, I'm debt free and living.
I can handle a $10,000 computer, right?
It's like, if you're gonna give $10,000 to somebody else, can you just make it like $9,500 and just give me $500 on it? I'd be really appreciative of it.
I know Chris always laughs at me with how bad the PC is. Like, it's a miracle right now that I can both look at the website for Evolve and record a podcast at the same time.
I'm a little surprised myself.
Yeah, there's no fire yet, so things are doing good.
Let's keep it up. We're almost done with the interview, so hopefully. So what? You said you used to do PR for a lot of different things, like food and beverages and all that. Why did you want to get into game PR?
I've always wanted to work in video games. I grew up, so I'm 34, and so I grew up, like, first console was a Nintendo, and then, I had, like, Super Nintendo.
Hell yeah.
Sega Master System, Sega Genesis, TurboGrafx-16, and then... I think there was like a little bit of a break before I got a PlayStation, and then I ended up trading the PlayStation for a Nintendo 64, which I guess was kind of good, kind of bad. I don't know, whatever.
That's awesome.
So I've kind of just always have played video games. I might have taken breaks here and there, but for the most part, I have played video games and I've always enjoyed video games.
I just turned 35, and my first console I bought for myself was a GameCube.
Dang.
I had a Game Boy as a child. Like, we weren't allowed to own consoles.
Yeah, good old Game Boy. Game Boy.
I lived in Joe's basement as a teenager because he had all the consoles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have all the consoles. I was a Nintendo boy, and then I got PlayStation and N64, but I never really... I wasn't... a Sega dabbler until Dreamcast, really, and then
PS2 is when you really amped up your Sega or your PlayStation experience.
Yeah, and then the PlayStation 3 came out and it started punching me and calling me names, and I was like, "No, man, you're okay. I'm gonna keep buying games for you. You're all right." And then the PS4 came out and it tried to burn my fucking house down, and I'm like, "No." my fifth PS4 started smoking.
Whoa.
So that's not a joke that my PlayStation tried to burn my house down.
Dang.
You want to meet a guy who had the worst luck with a console.
But here I am with number 6, and like I've said before on the show, 2016, new year, new attitude, covering more PlayStation stuff. That's why I'm excited to try out Klaus. The game looks insane. I actually grabbed Atlas was awesome enough to set us up with the Deadly Tower of Monsters that just came out, and that game is straight up insane. I can't wait to talk about that later this week. So yeah, I'm trying to be more friendly towards PlayStation and be cool with PlayStation. I figure if I stop talking shit about it, it'll stop trying to burn my house down.
Yeah, maybe if Sony never listens to any of your first 100 podcasts, maybe they'll.
110.
Are you giving it enough air?
Mine has always been on top of my TV stand. When I first got it, I actually had it inside my TV stand, but I noticed it would get loud. So I moved it on top of my TV stand, and I still... Hello, I'll be out there in a minute.
It's now where, that
where
time
did the horn the, come from?
It's now that time in the evening where I'm going to start getting a lot of horns honking because everybody. There's by the way, a short side story. There's this people say that people don't honk here in Portland, Oregon, but that is a lie. They honk all the time, and they're the worst.
I got to lay out my horn today,
but you're not in Portland.
It was quote unquote raining here in Vegas, which meant, you know, like 1 inch accumulation over the course of 15 hours kind of raining.
Right.
And, of course, we were going 35 on a 45, and some jackass tried to shoot across 2 lanes of traffic. He almost sideswiped me. So, you know, I grew up East Coast, so I just put my hand on that horn and left it there for a good 5 seconds. The guy's just staring at me like, what? I moved back over, and I'm like, no, you get the horn, motherfucker.
Did he get the finger as well?
I live in a neighborhood that's just has like apartments all around me. Like, this isn't like a like a highway where it's fine to honk at people.
And you still get horns?
Yeah, like every day. It's amazing.
Maybe it's just people being really friendly and saying hi to the people on the sidewalk.
I think it's people who just don't care.
That too.
Do they do that in Portland where like you see someone that you know and you just honk quick and wave? Or is that an East Coast thing?
Hmm?
I said in Portland.
Sorry.
Yeah, that was to you. And do you just like honk and wave at people that you know? Is that a thing over there?
I could definitely tell like when it's a friendly honk and when it's an aggressive honk. Because sometimes people will just be like, no, you go. Because I live next to a four-way stop. So it's like, you go. And the other time it's like,
the four-way
honk.
Stop.
Yeah.
I don't do friendly honks ever. If I'm using that horn, I'm doing it because I'm angry.
Good for you.
See, I always determine the anger of the horn by the duration of the honk. Like when I'm saying bye at my mom's house, I'll be like, and just like, bye. If someone cuts me off, it's like, you hold on to that fucker for 10 seconds. See, that was just like, go, you go. That horn that we just...
I think I usually just roll down the window and throw a finger up. And
see, I stopped doing the finger because here in Vegas... Well, I gave somebody the finger when I was in Mississippi, and he chased me.
Oh, nice.
The guy was coming off the interstate.
And how is that not more effective?
What the fuck?
He was coming off the interstate in a big old pickup truck with a rip-top plate. And he cut me off. He's going 25, and it's a 50-mile-an-hour zone because he comes shooting off the interstate merge. So I lay on the horn, drive, you know, shoot past him so I don't hit him and give him the finger. He just decided that he wasn't going to take that, and he fucking chased me for like 3 miles. And then I did it again here two and a half years ago, and the guy got out of his car, threatened me, and when it turned green, he got back in his car, tailed me, and then kind of came up level and spit on my car.
That's someone who blew the stop sign.
Yeah.
So now they're arguing.
Now I do give people a finger, but I do it under the window. So I feel better about it, but they don't see it happening.
See, when I go with the finger, I got to go all the way. Like near Christmas time, we were up at Best Buy, and as leaving it, you know, you come to a stop sign and the row of traffic there, just left and right, they don't have any kind of stop sign, and 90% of the people don't understand what a turn signal is. So if they're turning right onto my road, you don't know it until they're already turning. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there waiting to turn left. Cars are coming from the right, so I can't go there. Cars coming from the left, I don't know if they're turning or not. There's no turn signal. I'm not just going to pull out in front. So I'm sitting there waiting for an opening. The guy behind me, he doesn't give like the quick, like, come on, move, you could go. He immediately went to the 5-second honk. So I was already in a pissed off mood the way it is because it's the holidays. I fucking hate the holidays. I hate dealing with idiots at the holidays. Window went down, arm went out the window, middle finger held, full attention directly at him.
You were saluting at that point.
It was a full salute. So I still arm out the window, flipping him off. I pull out and I turn left and I continue driving. He blows through the stop sign, nearly causes a wreck because someone almost T-boned him just so he could get on my ass and like throw his high beams on, honking at me. He pulls off to the side of me. He starts flipping me off. He rolls his window down. He's like, you fucking piece of shit. Are you going to fucking flip me off? I'm like, shut the fuck up and learn how to drive. Go home and beat your wife some more. And he's just losing his mind. And I'm just smiling and waving. I'm like, learn to drive, you piece of shit.
And that was the happiest Christmas Joe ever had.
Oh, do you know how much better I felt after that?
There's something weird about watching somebody get a lot angrier than you expected them to.
Ashley's with me. She's like covering her face like, I can't believe you're doing this. I'm like, I was in a horrible mood before this. I just told a guy to suck my dick, eat shit, and go home and beat his wife some more. I feel great now.
And this is why we have such a popular podcast.
It's like my favorite Calvin and Hobbes comic.
Oh, God, I have to pick one? God damn.
When Calvin passes the negativity on to that girl that would always go, I forget her name off the top of my head. The girl that would always be at the bus stop with him. Susie. Yeah. Yeah. That was like one of my favorite ones. He's like, he passes that negativity on to her and he feels better about it. He's like, yeah, that's good. It's like, just that evil Calvin grin at the end.
Some of the best Calvin and Hobbes comics are the ones that have zero words in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my favorite ones will always be the fucked up snowmen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether it's, like, a dead one underneath his dad's car with, like, seven others staring at it. Like, you just can't beat those. Those are the best Calvin and Hobbes. What about you, Pappy?
Eh?
Are you not a Calvin and Hobbes fan?
I'm a huge fan, but I'm reading about pro tips from this Evolve website. Pretty good. Tell me about trade shows and conventions. I figure this is something we want to learn since we're going to actually rep ourselves at our first convention.
Well, MagFest isn't really a convention.
That's right. No, they get mad. They'll actually tweet back to you, we are not a con.
MagFest is a... Have you ever been to MagFest?
No.
Motherfucker, you need to go to MagFest.
Probably because it's not a con.
Yeah.
No, they've really... Joe started on the first one when there were 200-some people. I started going on the 6th when there were like 1,200. And now there's 15 or 17,000 already signed up.
It's ridiculous how they've grown.
They actually have like an Indiecade alley where last year it was their first time they had like 100 different indie games showcased. So we may see you there in a year or two. The way they're growing,
they're turning convention on us.
I mean, like, well, that's another part of our job is just kind of be aware of different conventions, because as the conventions continue getting bigger, you know, sometimes it makes sense for a client to go to a different one.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, hopefully we'll see more people showing up at MagFest.
Yeah, it's a festival.
They just announced fucking Bear McCreary's going to be there this year.
Wow. You going to take that Battlestar Galactica season one with you?
I might bring one of my Walking Dead Blu-ray sets to get signed.
Man, that's nice.
That's an awesome theme.
Yeah, I like that they've been geeking out.
Big Rig.
Yep.
I just want to do an entire show of just the traffic outside your house.
I know, right?
So the games that you're not representing, what are you enjoying playing right now, or what are you looking forward to that has nothing to do with you?
Oh man, I haven't had a chance to look too far forward, but you know, like Darkest Dungeon, came out of early access today. So kind of want to see what that final update is like. What else? I really want to play. I'm waiting for Binding of Isaac Afterbirth to come to PS4. So I really want to play it. Like, that was probably like one of my favorite games last year.
Is Afterbirth also hitting Xbox, or is that only going to be PS4 for now?
Yeah, I think it's hitting PS4 and Xbox at the same time.
Okay, good.
not sure if it's going to Wii U or 3D. I don't think it's going to 3DS. But, it has to be coming soon, and I really want to play that so bad, so bad. Otherwise, I'm still playing through Galick Z right now.
Played that one. I've heard about it. Haven't played it, though.
That game's fun. Like, I guess I'm just kind of into the roguelites right now. So I picked up Risk of Rain over the Steam holiday sales. I've been playing that a little bit. And, besides client games, like, I haven't really been paying attention to, like, what else is coming out this year. I saw a little preview of The Division, and, you know, I played a bunch of Destiny, and so, like, I guess I should be excited for The Division, but I'm kind of, like, mixed on it right now.
I was actually excited for it until I saw that it's an online co-op, and I was kind of like, oh.
I'll say I enjoyed The Division a lot more than I enjoyed Destiny, the time that I've played with it so far. Because I didn't feel like I needed to co-op in the time I've played The Division. Who knows? Later game stuff, you still might be required to, but at least what I've played so far, I could go at my own pace, which I liked. I'm eager to see the next beta come along and play it some more.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was watching some recent things about it, and they were saying how, you know, it's more RPG than it is shooter. And that should vibe with me just fine. I just don't know if, like, I'll be able to pass the hurdle of, like, you know, playing against other people, but it takes like 7 headshots in order to kill a human.
Yeah.
I know it should be like sort of RPG like in its nature, so, you know, you should be used to taking a lot of hits in order to take somebody down, but I guess it's that whole separation of like real life to a video game sort of thing. So yeah, I don't know. Other than that, I know there's a ton of other video games out there. Just finding time to play them, sometimes I don't bother paying too much attention until I have the time to play it. I mean, I guess that Last Guardian game looks pretty awesome. I watched a good preview of that while I was at E3. But I don't know. What about you?
I'm still not sold on Last Guardian. I'm probably one of the only people who isn't just losing my mind at the fact that it still exists, because I think it looks exactly the same as it did 8 years ago when it was announced for the PS3. It's just this past E3, it was playable and it looked damn near the same. And
yeah,
it did nothing for me. I have a feeling it's going to be a gigantic letdown once people get over the fact that it's actually out. They'll be like, why does this feel like an 8-year-old game? Oh, because it is. I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it turns out to be good, but I have low hopes for it. I'm excited for Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare coming out next month.
The second one?
Yeah, I was playing the beta of that all weekend long, and oh my god, I need that inside me.
Yeah, I'm surprised about the community behind that, like how EA hasn't done so many of the microtransaction things that you'd expect out of them for that.
They've been decent human beings about it.
I'm hoping that they treat all the extra characters you can unlock the same way they did in the first one, where it wasn't a pay to win. It was all the extra characters you could unlock. They might have had a more powerful weapon or some kind of upgrade to something, but for every upgrade, there was also a downgrade. So it might have been more powerful, but there was less ammo, or it reloaded slower, or it just shot slower. They kept it incredibly balanced. My biggest complaint with the beta was there was a little imp dude on the zombie side who seemed way too overpowered. It seemed 9 times out of 10 when I died in the game, it cuts to who killed you, and his one kill move, one of his special moves, he like spins around and just shoots randomly in a circle, and it always seemed to be an imp doing that. So I'm worried.
I mean, that's the reason why you play a beta, right?
Yeah, hopefully they see that imp dude is just way too overpowered.
Yeah, hopefully they're tracking those stats and not just testing servers at that point.
Yeah. Well, there's still a month before it's officially out, so that it's not like it's, oh, we're going to do a beta and then the game releases on Tuesday. That's not a beta, you goddamn liar.
Yeah, that's a server test.
Yeah. And then it still crashes on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But we are about an hour 15 into this. I do want to thank you for joining us. I don't want to eat up your entire night.
Well, thanks for having me.
I am very awesome. Happy that you came on. I am happy to be a user of your PR service, and I hope that I am in touch with you guys quite a bit over the coming months, and hopefully you'll say that you didn't have a horrible time on our show and maybe someone else will want to come on and talk with us.
Yeah, I mean, like, essentially over this next year, we'd like to do more things on Twitch again and try to get, you know, people on to the channel as well. So who knows? Maybe it'll work right back to you guys.
Hey, we're always happy to have people on here. Always happy to have people on. I'm excited because our show, it just got featured on the Xbox One storefront for the game Electronic Superjoy. So we're making some fucking moves.
Sweet.
I feel like proud about that shit. It's magical.
Sure. Yeah. You made it happen.
But, Pappy, I'm not sure, did you want to cover anything else while we're still going after we let Jesse go, or do you just want to save everything?
How busy are we on Thursday?
Busy.
Okay, so yeah, let's. I can hit up a game or two real quick, and we'll end with that after we let our wonderful guest go.
So, Jesse, again, thank you for coming on and chatting with us. It has been our pleasure to have you on. We hope you come back. Do you have any final words for our listeners?
Oh, man. Thanks for having me. It was good talking with you guys. I always enjoy talking video games, so it's easy peasy. And then otherwise, just, if you're another person who is interested in checking out some games, and I mean, we talk with people who have large audiences and people who have small audiences. So you could always go over to, it's like evolve-pr.com or over like we have, you could Google Evolve Terminal and probably find it too and see what we're working on. But, I'm on Twitter at JesseRad if you wanted to chat with me there.
Awesome.
And just let me know if you want me to send you a Serbian film. It's all yours.
I don't know if I want to watch that baby.
I don't think anyone does. That's just morbid curiosity.
I think I'm good. Save it for somebody who really wants to watch it.
That's the right call. And thanks again for being on the show with us, man.
Cool.
Have a good one, Jesse.
Thanks, guys. All right. Talk to you soon.
Honk, honk.
Honk.
Oh, man. That dude's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You can tell he does PR.
Yeah.
It wasn't until we put him on the spot with the final words that he finally got a little nervous.
Yeah, I know. It's all because of a Serbian film.
Yeah. That's even though I mentioned that afterwards.
Yeah.
Totally my fault. So, yeah, I played a game over the weekend called Albedo.
Albedo, Eyes from Outer Space. It is developed by Z4Go or Z4GO. It is published by Merge Games. And it releases on the 20th for $14.99 on the Xbox One. I'm not sure if it's on any other platforms or not. You played this. I didn't have a chance to fire it up because I'm busy playing like 40 other games.
Yeah, no, I got through the first four rooms out of 20. I give credit where credit's due. The whole game was put together by one person.
All right.
That's the big thing. If you go and watch the trailer, one man made this game happen. And that's awesome. It's very impressive. The game's got a pretty clean look. It's not, I'm not saying, it was like The Witcher. But you look at it, you would assume that a team worked on it. It's a clean game. It's put together.
I'm going to try getting away from the microphone for a bit. It's probably going to still pick this up. But I'm still sick, so I'm going to blow my nose on the show again.
All right.
So
no,
enjoy
fine.
As I put
Honk.
My...
Yeah, get those boogers out of there. Sound like a good one.
My favorite is when I could see the audio, the mic did pick it up.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite is when I blow my nose and then my sinuses just go like...
Yeah, it's the sound of them slowly filling back up. But yeah, anyhow, video game. So what it is basically something happens and wherever you're working, you fall through into the basement and you got to get your way out. And each room is a series of puzzles, but you're also encountering eyes from space, giant eyeball creatures that you have to kill. And that's where it lost me a little bit. I said I really enjoyed the puzzles and I enjoyed the – but the controls were really hard for me. You'll have to give it a try and say what – see if – you agree the control scheme is a little weird, or if it's like, oh, Pappy sucked it up.
Yeah.
It's very inventory based. You're using your right and left bumpers and Y. Those are your primary three buttons, and that was a little weird for me. And your D pad to hit Y to go to your inventory, scroll left and right to find something. So like, here comes an eye from space. I'm trying to pull a brick out of my inventory to hit it with it, but it defaults to examine. So I'm like, oh. Oh, and now I'm being attacked by a fucking tentacle eyeball, and it's a brick. God damn it. I know it's a brick.
I did watch the trailer for it. I thought it looked really interesting, and that's why I got in touch with them. I just, with so many of the games that we've been covering, I haven't had time to play it myself, so you're taking care of this one.
It's an action puzzler, so it's actually in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was more like an adventure-style game, because I saw combat in the trailer. So I'm curious to know, like, is it more puzzle oriented with a little bit?
Because like the first room, there's something trying to get in, but you have plenty of time to set up a trap to kill it. And like, I don't think it actually got in until the trap was ready. And then the second one, you kill it, and then you get out of the room. So, yeah, it's not like you have to solve the puzzle while being attacked continuously, or at least not up to the fourth room.
Yeah.
So you actually have time to figure stuff out. Now, what's really cool is there's a feature in the game. You find this, I forget what it's called, like a time dilator. It looks like a giant magnifying glass. And if you look through, you can look at certain points, and you'll see a silhouette. So if you're stuck on the puzzle, you can pull it out, and you'll see, like, there's a thing with a dumbwaiter. And I was a little confused. Like, I got the dumbwaiter connected, but it still wouldn't move. So I pull the thing out, and I'm looking around, and sure enough, there's a silhouette of what you need to do next.
Silhouette of a man?
Yeah, Scarabouche. So I had to put the Scarabouche in the dumbwaiter to make it work.
In the Fandango?
And then I did the Fandango once I got the dumbwaiter going. But it's – so it's cool that that was put in there. So it's not like the old school point-and-click adventures where you're fucked if you can't figure it out yourself. Like, there's an actual built-in. The only thing I did laugh at, when I started the game, it defaults to hard. Oh, let's scroll left for a little while. There we go. There's easy mode. Let's play it that way.
I almost legitimately feel bad because when I talked with the developer, he was like, yeah, here, let me hook you up some codes, and I'm going to include a walkthrough because some people have had a hard time with it. And I was like, Pappy, do you want to cover this game? Okay, here's a code. And then today you're like, man, it's really, some of the puzzles are tough. I'm like, oh, yeah, he gave me a walkthrough.
It's the walkthrough. Yeah, thanks. So I'll hit it up a little bit more maybe tonight or tomorrow and try and get a little more game time in. Other than that, I know we went over Punch Club a little bit, but man, that game, that ate my whole fucking three-day weekend. I streamed it on Sunday. I played it again for like 8 hours on Monday because I had MLK day off. And Jesus Christ, that game is so great because you only need your mouse to play it. And the jokes, man.
Yeah, that game looks absolutely hilarious. I really do hope it comes to a console.
Well, if you're a PC guy, it's $10 on Steam. I've gotten $50 out of it already. I since I'm streaming with old balls, I made a new game and called them Young Balls, and I'm playing that. So I'm way past where I am in the stream, and it just gets funnier and funnier. Like, I actually fought all the ninja crocodiles. Like, yeah, come back and fight Gabe. He's the strongest. You get back and just a voice like, yeah, I don't really want to fight you. I guess you win. Yeah, you got to fight Ivan Geef, the great Russian boxer. I'm fighting a Bulk Logan right now.
Bulk Logan.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan.
All right.
Yeah, they're not subtle, but they're just enough to not get sued, I guess.
Lesai. Yeah, I'm honestly disappointed because we've been asking people to send us a story about a time they got into a fight for a chance to win a code for Punch Club. We have a handful of entries for our other two contests, but we really haven't gotten anything for Punch Club yet. We only got one email from Uneaten Lake about it, and he starts off, SML, I don't want to be a part of the contest, but I thought I would share this funny story.
Well, hell, let's hear it.
He says, so when I was in third or fourth grade, I took the bus to school and back. Our bus stop was behind my house and was the bus stop for quite a few neighborhoods. One day, a kid who was my age, Joey, oh, this little prick, was picking on a younger kid who lived a few houses down from me. I didn't really care for the bully myself and confronted him after we exited the bus. I told the bully to leave the other kid alone, but he just ignored me. I yelled at the bully one more time and then... Fuck yes. I swung my metal Hulk lunchbox at him and laid him out. It put a pretty good dent in the side of the lunchbox, and I think Joey stayed home for a day or two. A few hours later, when my dad got home, my mom told him what happened, and he ended up asking me, well, did Joey deserve it? I said yes, and he told me I could really hurt someone by doing that, but it was good I stood up for a bully. I think maybe a few days later, I ended up with a new plastic lunchbox.
That was, I'll share my funny fight from being a youngin.
Go for it.
Broke my arm showing off, trying, you know, I was in kindergarten. I'm like, oh, look, I can ride no-handed. Flump, arm broken. On the bus, you know, like a week or two later, you know, I'm in a cast and some kid starts making fun of me. So I see red. I get up and I hit him upside the head with my cast. We're kindergartners. So, of course, the kid starts crying. He's bawling his eye out. I guess I cracked the skin because he starts bleeding. So not only is that the first time I was ever in any kind of confrontation, but that's the first time I was ever sworn at, because a bus driver pulls over, runs to the back, and starts screaming at me, "What the fuck did you do, you little shit?" So I had to, I got in trouble there. I got home. I got in more trouble. I had to go to the kid's house and apologize. And I have no idea who he is anymore. Like, I honestly don't know. So if there's someone out there listening who got hit upside the head in Michigan about 30 years ago, I'm sorry. I was an angry little kid.
Uneaten Lake is going to write in like, "You son of a bitch."
That was you.
Watch it be Zach. That'd be even funnier. Zach's...
Then we moved to Texas. No, I don't think Zach is from Michigan.
I thought he was somewhere in middle country. I don't know.
Middle country? That narrows it down. Nebraska, Michigan, Idaho, whatever.
I want to say Wisconsin for some reason, but I'm probably wrong. Doesn't matter. Zach's not going to hear this for another month and a half anyway. Yeah. He's on episode like 140-something.
He's kind of the oakley-dokley kind of guy who might be from Wisconsin. He's so nice all the time.
But, yeah, we still have two codes for Punch Club. So, come on, people. Send us stories about a time you got into a fight. I'm going to ask Uneaten Lake if he wants one of the codes anyway. So,
now, I did have a coworker send an email in, but it's a Chris dependent. So, are we going to try to
get
him
on Thursday? So, we're going to hold off on that. Hopefully, Chris will be with us on Thursday.
Because he did agree that we can hold off on that indefinitely until Chris actually shows up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because I read that one. Because it starts off, "So I listen to a band," and I'm like, yeah, this is the Chris email. So, I wanted to touch quickly on a game that just came out today. It is called Gemini Heroes Reborn. It is developed by Phosphor and published by Imperative Entertainment. Again, it released today for $14.99. It is on the Xbox One. I believe it is also eventually coming to the PS4, and I never know with Steam, so I don't give a fuck. It is basically a first-person action puzzle-ish kind of game that takes place in the Heroes Reborn universe of the TV show. Starts off with a guy and a girl going to some abandoned factory warehouse area, trying to find information about this girl's family because she doesn't know anything about her childhood, her parents, anything like that. The beginning stage is basically the whole, you know, learn how to move and how to look and walk. It's the tutorial stage, and they actually have a neat way to cover for the fact that there's subtitles and, like, there's a health gauge and everything else, because the guy is wearing these glasses and he's like, "Here, try out these smart glasses on that my company is working on," and you put them on. And it, like, detects his face, and then it has, like, a chat log pop up, and it has, like, the time of day, the battery life, it has a health gauge, because it senses your health and your well-being. So I like that they found a cool way to kind of integrate that into a game, of like, yeah, hey, this is the reason that you have a health meter in the game.
That's cool.
Once the tutorial area is over and the story kind of picks up, it involves you were lured there by the bad guy because he knows that you're an Evo, which is the people that have the abilities in Heroes.
They evolved.
Yeah. He knows that you're an Evo, even though you didn't know it. Like, you start the game not knowing. You actually discover and develop your powers through the game.
Are these now, are you, I know I'm interrupting you a little bit, but are you able to kind of pick and choose your powers from a tree?
No. They're all given to you. It's a lot of it is story progression. It's not like an open world kind of thing. It's 16 stages in the game. It's a gradual thing. Like, you start off as a bad guy is about to discover where you are because you're hiding, you kind of like scream no, and then you just teleport to a
no.
to like a high school gym, and you're like,
oh,
where?
And then you get arrested for being at a high school gym as an adult.
Well, no, it turns out that you're in the same place, just in a different time. So you have the ability. It starts off that you can look through periods of time. You're able to peek through into the current time to see the guys like dragging away your friend, And then you're like, well, if I could see through time, maybe I could step through time. And you're able to switch between the previous time where, like, the building is all whole and there's, like, security guards and the building is all nice, and the current time where there's, like, military soldiers and the building is in ruins and beat to shit and everything else. And you're able to jump back and forth. And in one world, like, the area, like, a door might be locked. So you switch to the other one and the door's just destroyed. So you go through and then switch back.
Okay.
Or, like, there might be rubble in the way, so you have to switch to the other world to make it through that area. There's a lot of cool swapping between worlds to make it through areas. There's a little bit of exploration with some collectibles that a couple of them are kind of out of the way. It's really cool stuff, actually. You also have the ability to slow time. Like, if shit's getting bad, you could slow time and try getting away and jump time to regain your health. You can also, you get telekinesis, I guess, where you can, like, if someone's shooting you, can you put your hand up and you stop bullets.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And then you can pick things up and throw them around. I made a tweet that I was having fun with the game and I'm spending way too much time just shooting shit around the room. you can actually pick up most enemies that I've gotten through. I'm about halfway through the game right now. Instead of, like, picking up, like, a chair and shooting an enemy, I'll just pick up an enemy and launch him across the fucking room a couple of times until he dies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. Launch an enemy at an enemy.
Exactly. The one point you had a slow time to get through spinning fan blades, so, you know, you go through and there's an enemy. What are you going to do with the enemy? You pick him up and throw him into the fucking fan blades.
Yeah.
I kind of wish it was an M-rated game for the gore, but I can understand with keeping it T-rated because of the TV show and everything else. The voice acting's decent. Visuals, there's some graphical hitches and stuff like that. For $15, it's really, really fucking solid. Like, I'm having a lot of fun with
15 it. $15, man, that's not bad at all.
And even funnier, the first time I played it was, everyone knows I've been sick. I took Halcyon to get to sleep the one night, and I'm like, well, before it kicked in, I'm like, I should try out Heroes before I go to bed. And I start playing it, and I remember playing the first stage and parts of the second stage. I apparently got through, like, a quarter of the game. No clue.
Oh, that's great.
Chris walked in. He's like, what are you playing? I'm like, Heroes. He's like, is that any good? I'm like, I don't remember. He's like, well, it says you beat, like, four stages. I'm like, I know. I don't fucking know. So I'm apparently such a good gamer that I made it through a quarter of a game without knowing.
Good job. Good job.
But yeah, Gemini Heroes Are Born, again, developed by Phosphor. It is available now. A lot of people are kind of comparing it to, like, I don't want to say a low budget Quantum Break, but it feels very Quantum Break-ish based off of what we've seen. And
yeah.
I guess technically it does have a lower budget, but it's really cool. Someone asked me if it's like PsyOps, that old Xbox One and PS2 game. I never played PsyOps, so I don't know, which is a shame because Cold had music in it. So I really should go back and play it.
Yeah, you should. Son of a bitch.
Because we have two contests going on, do you want to end either or one of them?
What are the two?
We have the Gone Home contest, where you have to tell us a happy high school story.
Okay.
And we have the Banner Saga contest, where you need to send us a hiking story.
Let's do the hiking one.
Because we have a number of entries for both, which is pretty cool.
Let's do the hiking one, because we already kind of hit on school a little bit with the fights.
All right. It looks like we have four entries for our Banner Saga contest. Jon Snow, Nick Simpson, Lana Lokers, and Tembo Elephant. Some familiar names. We will start with Jon Snow.
He knows nothing.
Hi, SML crew. When I was 15, my friend and I were staying at a relative's cabin with my family. It was just after the 4th of July, and since fireworks are illegal in California, we decided to make our own. Oh, no. We cut open all our sparkler sticks, dumped the powder into a plastic baggie, and attached one of the fuses. We hiked up a ways up the hill behind the cabin, found a relatively clear area, and lit the sparkler powder. After it burned out, we covered it in dirt as best as we could and hiked back down. Fast forward to 2 a.m., and we were woken up by fire trucks battling a blaze of red burning trees behind our cabin. The fire got as close as 50 feet to the cabin. They knew it was fireworks, but we denied it to my parents, and thankfully nobody got hurt.
And thankfully nobody got hurt or arrested. California does not fuck around with that. And that's why he used a fake name.
Indeed. So, fireworks. my sinus is getting all shitty again. Talk for a second.
All right, so I'm just going to talk while you blow yourself. I mean your nose, and by that I mean get blown. And,
actually, I just took some water to kind of like clear my throat out. Nick Simpson, my great...
Fuck you.
I don't like you anyway. Nick Simpson, my greatest hiking story would be when I used to hike on my best friend's property back in high school. His family had a ton of land, so I could just go out there whenever I wanted and hike through nearly endless rows of huge pine trees. It was a very serene and deeply hypnotic experience at points on a crisp Saturday morning to be out there jogging on a crunchy pine needles while staring up at the repeating uniform trees, never stopping. A very relaxing experience. That's a good one. That's nice. See, they don't all need to be funny or crazy. Relax. I'm writing down notes to remember whose story is which. Ah, shit. No, I don't want to go back to Skype, you son of a bitch. Trying to do all this on my pad. Lana Lokers, my hiking story. I love going for hikes when the weather is in my favor. I go out on the dunes on this property behind my house next to a factory. One day, a couple summers back, when I went there to go for a walk, I came upon a bunch of huts and forts made out of sheet metal and boards and covered in branches and leaves and color splattered all over them. I was wandering through and admiring them when all of a sudden something hit the tree I was standing next to and something splattered on me. I had wandered upon some kid's paintball course and nearly gotten shot. I took a different path on my next walk through those dunes.
Holy shit.
Oh my god. That sounds like a fun way to end a hike.
Have you ever played paintball, Joe?
No, I have not.
That shit hurts. I've been beaten, bruised, and broken playing paintball. It's a lot of fun, but man, I say the worst, I got hit on my it actually hit me on my hand, like the hand that was holding the gun. It split my finger open.
Oh, yeah. I hear getting hit on a hand, like anything really bony, is the worst.
Oh, yeah, because it hits hard enough that you're going to bleed. If it hits a soft part, you're going to bruise. If it hits a bony part, you're going to just split the skin right the fuck open.
Man. All right. Last entry is from Tembo Elephant. One time on a camping / hiking trip with a couple of friends, I came across a whole bunch of abandoned stuff next to a river. An old, slightly rusted dirt bike, a backpack filled with camping gear, rope, a torn tent, old food, and a single boot. No idea what happened to whoever's stuff it was, but it seemed like it had been there for a while, and we couldn't find any sign of anyone else nearby. We attempted to get the dirt bike running, but couldn't get it to start, so we took the gear, rope, and backpack with us and left the other stuff behind. I was really hoping that would have ended in, like, later that night.
Some dude fell into the river. He comes back for his shit, and he's like, "What the fuck? A backpack."
So it comes down to Jon Snow with the fireworks, who nearly burnt down the forest. Nick with his relaxing hikes through the forest. Lana, who nearly got shot on a paintball course. And Tembo, who just hijacked some hiker stuff as he lay dying in a ditch.
Yeah, how many codes?
We only have one, unfortunately.
Okay.
So one person here is getting the Banner Saga.
We got the relaxation. We got the accidental dead hitchhiker. That's just what I'm going to call it from now on. Paintball and fire.
Yeah.
In terms of taking a risk emailing us, the guy who set a fire in California Like, definitely took a risk. You know, someone in some fucking California, fire prevention or scout or something's going to hear this shit and be like,
I know who that was. Shit. This motherfucker's going down.
Yeah, we're gonna backtrace that email.
Just so you don't worry, all four of these people have also entered for the Gone Home contest, so you don't have to worry about hurting anyone's feelings. People's feelings are going to get hurt anyway. So
okay, well I'm
kind of leaning towards paintball.
Okay, I'm torn between the fire and the paintball.
Fire and paintball.
I guess I can go with you on the paintball one. It's less dangerous, I guess, because I would feel bad about it. Oh, yeah, hey, man, you almost fucking burned down a forest in California. Here, we have a code. But, no, it is, because, I mean, I couldn't imagine. I would shit my pants. It was like, I'm accidentally on a paintball field without a paintball mask. You can be disfigured. Like, if it hit him in the face, it could have broken his cheek. It could have popped an eye.
Well, like, it's Lana Loker, I'm guessing it's...
Lana!
I just think that seems like the kind of story that would work with our show of like, I was out walking around and I ended up stumbling upon a fucking paintball course and I almost got shot.
Accidental almost mutilation.
So Lana Lokers, you are the winner of our Banner Saga contest. Later on this week, we will hand out our copy of Gone Home and then we will announce two more contests for next week. Because that's the kind of shit we do.
Go watch Archer.
Watch Archer. I'm not sure if I want to discuss one more game this week or just save it for Thursday.
No, we're pushing. We're at hour 45 already. Let's save it.
All right. Trying to think what kind of music to play this week. Do I have anything good on my desktop? Let's do some Danny Baranowski with Crypt of the Necro Dancer. They just announced that's coming to the PS4. So Danny B style.
All right.
Until next time, thank you for listening. Make sure to get us your emails at the smlpodcast@gmail.com. We will have plenty more games to talk about later this week. Thanks again to our wonderful guests coming on and talking with us. And hopefully we will have a fun little partnership with Evolve in the coming months.
Yeah.
So,
as long as they never listen to that episode.
Oh, God. They are so fucked if they ever listen to this. They'd be like, dude, you went on their show? How could you? You traitorous bastard. So I guess final words, Jesse.
Good night, everybody.
Jesse, sorry we got you fired.
next.